All right, we're going to try this out tonight. We're partnering. We thought we'd do something a little bit different. This is the end of our Nehemiah series, and it's from Nehemiah 12. And so part of this is celebrating. They're going to come into a celebration for everything they've done, everything the Lord has helped them through. And so I thought, well, if we're going to be in a celebratory mood, let's do this together. So here we are. And so we had looked at Nehemiah and everything went through. And so the way we did this really matches what we want to be as a church, and that is Nehemiah went out and was about the community, right? Yeah. So we looked at how Nehemiah, we do that from a leadership as Nehemiah was a leader, but we looked at it that without the community coming together and without the leaders following a leadership and doing what they're supposed to do and the people coming together, the wall wouldn't have gotten completed. They wouldn't end in this celebration. But more than the wall being completed, there was a complete restoration that also happened. And we're believing that for this area. We're believing that there's a lot of people that I'm talking to are feeling really good in everything that's going on in Columbiana County, that there is something that's happening in Columbiana County, that there's a restoration that's starting to begin, that there's a healing process, and we know that that hurts sometimes. We know that in healing processes, there's times of conflict, just like happened in Nehemiah. And so we were really believing that this is a great series to start us here. Where we're at right now is the wall has been finished. It started with a burden in one man's heart. And look, in 52 days, the wall got completed. Now, again, I remind you, this isn't just some simple wall. We're talking, was it about 25 feet wide? It was a huge wall, and it wrapped around the entire city of Jerusalem. So this, to have that done in 52 days, there's no way one man could do it, or even his passion. First of all, it had to take all the people, but it also took the Lord. Matthew 19:26 says it this way: with man, this is impossible, but with God, all things are possible. And we found that out in Nehemiah. In fact, that's what we find out in the entire book. Man tries it out. He fails. God goes, well, are you going to do it my way? I told you the right way to do it, but okay, we'll let you do it your way. And in this case, it did. It doesn't end with construction, though. In fact, if you look around, there's a lot of construction around. And if you're going to be here around long enough, you'll see construction right down this road. And we're actually excited about it because it means another piece, another restoration that is happening. But it actually moves to a celebration, which is what you found out when you dug into your stuff, didn't you? Some of the celebration.
Oh, yes, yeah. But that's in my middle part.
Oh, you want me to save it? Okay, all right. She's like, just do your thing.
You're changing up the roadmap.
I change up all my roadmaps. Welcome to how I preach. Yeah. A lot of times, and even with the church here, when we get something completed, the first thing we look at is go, oh, well, that needs to be fixed. Or, oh, we need to do the next thing. Oh, now we got to do this. We often don't sit and rest and celebrate. A lot of times we look at the problems or well, I did that, but I probably could have done that a little bit better. And in Nehemiah 12, we're going to look at they took time to celebrate. But they didn't just celebrate, they worshiped. The people wanted to honor God. So as we wrap up, we're going to look at what happens after the rebuilding and the restoration. So they lifted up their voice in worship. They used all kinds of instruments. And they actually walked on the wall, which was super cool. Because when I first read that, before I dug in, because I read all the way through Nehemiah again, and before I dug in and realized that the wall is pretty wide, I'm like, okay, I'm thinking a brick wall, that they're marching around on this simple brick wall. Like, literally, that's what I thought. Like, that's what it says, walked on a wall. Well, when we think of walls, we don't think of a wall, right? And so I'm going to read from verses 27 through 30 in Nehemiah 12 if you wanted to follow along. Oop, I'm in James. How about if I get to Nehemiah? No, I'm not. It's right here. At the dedication of the wall of Jerusalem, the Levites were sought out from where they lived and they brought to Jerusalem to celebrate joyfully. So they were brought to Jerusalem. Again, remember, all the Levites, they came and helped. They went back out. They had their own, but they came back in to celebrate joyfully the dedication with songs of thanksgiving, quite appropriate for this month, and with the music of cymbals, harps, and lyres. The musicians were also brought together from the region around Jerusalem, from the villages of Nephthites, from Beth Gagal, from the area of Geba, and Azmath. For the musicians had built villages for themselves around Jerusalem. When the priests and Levites had purified themselves ceremoniously, they purified the people, the gates, and the wall. They purified themselves. Then the people, then the wall. A lot of times when we're looking at doing things, we go right to the wall. Right? We look at the problem, we got to take, but we forget about taking care of ourselves. Levites had to purify themselves. Then they went to the people, and then the wall. See, God doesn't want to just use you. He wants to change you first. He doesn't want to use you before you're changed. He can use you, and he will, if that's what you choose, because God will turn it for his good. But what he wants to see is you change. He cares more about the purity of the vessel than he does about the productivity of the ministry. See, the priests didn't start by fixing the wall. They started by letting God fix them. They didn't assume being busy for God meant being right with God. A lot of times we get busy doing the Lord's work and forget that we're not right with him first. They purified themselves before they purified anything else around them. See, you can't purify what you haven't let God purify in you first. A lot of times us Christians will call out things that we have in ourselves. Maybe because we do have it in ourselves. Maybe we see it and we know it's wrong. You can't disciple your kids into holiness if you yourself are hiding sin. You can't lead worship, right? You can't lead worship if you're not submitting to God in private worship. And you can't pray for revival if you won't repent. If you're not willing to repent, you might as well forget about revival because it begins with you, and we've talked about that before. So just like then, purification really isn't optional. The New Testament version isn't about sprinkling water or sacrificing animals. It's confession, it's repentance, it's coming right and forgetting forgiveness through Jesus before we move in. And then also daily renewal by the word. Bless you. Unless the Lord builds the house, the builders labor in vain, says Psalm 127. In other words, if you have a ministry that looks successful but God hasn't purified it or hasn't purified you, it won't matter. Wouldn't you agree that?
Yeah.
It's not about earning God's love. It's about removing whatever keeps you from fully reflecting God's love. Sanctification is a preparation. Before singing ever starts, the worship team has to get up here before the instruments play a note. They have to recognize the Lord in themselves. The first act of worship simply isn't God did this. One of the biggest dangers in Christian life is that we won't celebrate what God has done. We start claiming everything for ourselves. We can do that with its church. Look what we did. And we did do a lot because we obeyed what the Lord asked us to do.
Amen.
Right? But we could also turn it around the other way and give God all the glory. And we really take away from those who really want to say, you guys did a great job. A lot of times we get weird with it. And I don't mean that in a weird way, but like we do. Oh, only the Lord, only through the Lord. And it's true. It's 100% true. But sometimes they just want to say, you guys did a great job. All we have to say is thank you. Sometimes it's just us going, yeah, we know we did it through the Lord. We get to as Christians, we get out in the public like, only the Lord can do it, and it's right. But they don't want to hear all that. They want you to show the love, which is saying, thank you for recognizing, because you've already recognized that it was through the Lord. It's not about the compliment. It's when we start bragging about it. Look what I built. Look what I accomplished. Then it changes the other way. When you say, look what I did, and you take no credit, or you don't give Lord any credit, then there's something in that as well.
There's no I in God.
There is no I in God. Oh, well, there is an I am, but we're not talking about
no.
that. Right?
G-O-D. There's
G-O-D,
no I.
No I in G-O-D. They didn't throw a look at our wall party in Nehemiah 12. They said, look at our God celebration, and they lifted their hands to heaven. They didn't finish the wall. They didn't just finish the wall. They dedicated it. See, anything we build, anything we do, any ministry we do, any work that we're in, we have to also point it back to God. And I say we through us. And then what God will do is give you those God winks, those God nudges in where you are to have those conversations of when they go, I don't know how you did that. Oh, now let me tell you how I did that. How did you build a wall in 52 days? Let me tell you about my God. You know, and then it's not so weird. So that's why they had a celebration. And that's why we actually had a celebration here for Connection Church. It wasn't about look what we did or look what we were called into. It really was a celebration of what was happening and what the Lord has done. So once they dedicated the wall, though, something powerful happened. And that's when worship broke out. Not quietly, though, did it?
No, not at all.
So, yeah, it's your dip. So, if you want it, I'll keep going.
No, it's good. So in Nehemiah 12, 31 through 43, we see a powerful movement. The people of God gathered to dedicate the wall to Jerusalem, just like you said. So it was two choirs, and they were called the Thanksgiving choirs because they were praising and giving thanks. They marched. They literally stood hundreds and hundreds of people on both sides of the walls and marched all the way around. This microphone doesn't allow me to do the other hand. But they both sides marching at the same time, singing, and then they closed at God's house at the very end. So it was a representation that they were praising for everything that God had done, and it rang through the whole entire town. So
so that was kind of like when we have baptism, right?
Yes.
So that's a visible sign of what the Lord has done, and so that's what they're doing there.
Yep. So everything that lived in the city heard their praise loud and clear. So my question to you is, how many of you have ever been to some kind of large concert of some sort, like in Pittsburgh or Covelli Center, right? So to think and get the perspective of how loud and how powerful these two choirs were, I think of being at a concert and everybody is singing one voice, and then all of a sudden the band and the performers stop playing and singing, but the people in the stadium still are singing. I get goosebumps just thinking about it. It's powerful because it's one voice doing the same thing. And that's how I imagine that these two choirs were sounding at the same time. So the sound of their worship was so great that the scriptures say the joy of Jerusalem was heard far away. So again, it wasn't soft, it wasn't quiet. It was so loud that miles and miles and miles away could still hear. So it was reflective worship. This was a powerful praise that came from their love of God and gratitude for what he had done and what he had brought them through. So when we love God so much, you want to shout it from the rooftops. You want to tell everyone about him. Everybody that you come in contact, you just want to tell them what God did for you. So that's the power of true worship. It carries beyond the walls, beyond circumstances, beyond fear, beyond fatigue. Gosh knows we are all tired all the time. and living in Ohio with the dreary weather doesn't help any. So, but it goes way beyond all of those. It declares that God is faithful and worthy no matter what we've come through. So for me, worship is the way that God speaks to me. So when I enter worship, I come covered in my ick. Everybody's got ick from the day. Everybody has come from something. So it can be a crazy day at school. It could be a disagreement that Aaron and I have had. And yes, we have disagreements. I win over the disagreements. But yes.
We can disagree on that.
Okay. Disagree to disagree. I might be stressed from working two basically full-time jobs, my full-time teaching career, and now we're in full-time ministry. So there's a lot that goes into what a lot covering me when I come to worship. So when I sit with the Lord and I put the worship music on, I just let him speak. And he highlights different lyrics for me. So there might be a song that the lyric just makes my heart pound. I know that's from God. Okay? He might soothe my anxiousness with a sweet, soft lyric and then make me cry a lot. He'll wash over me with every single word. Some songs are like that. Other songs, not so much, like Reckless Love. I don't know why I can't get into that song. That song just says, nope, not speaking to you today. But my love language with God is worship. And that is what he wants from us, is to have our worship. It's truly a powerful thing that marks me and changes me every single time that I go into worship with God. Every time. So the same people who once wept over ruins were now rejoicing in restoration. Their worship wasn't quiet, it was victorious. They weren't afraid to be loud at all. It was the sound of a people who had seen God's hand rebuild what was broken. And when you have been broken and restored, you don't want to keep it quiet ever. Right? So I want you to think of a time when God moved a mountain that had been standing in front of you for a very long time. We've had quite a few of those mountains in front of us. Or a time when he touched and healed you. Or even a time when he whispered simply, "I love you," and you heard it and felt it. How did you feel? What did you do? Did you keep it to yourself? Did you run and tell everybody all about your experience? When God moves in your life and you know it was him, you know without a shadow of a doubt that it was God that touched you, you shout it from the rooftops. You tell everyone. But we don't want to make it weird. You don't want to be running through the grocery store, "Go guess what God did for me today!" Because people will look at you weird. All right, we have several other ways that you can show what God has done for you. You don't want to scare the people. Our shouting is giving our testimony to a friend who had been walking through something really tough that we might be able to understand. Our shouting is sitting and praying with somebody who desperately wants to hear from God. Our shouting is being the hands and feet of Jesus every time we walk out this door. And to know to whoever we come across, whether it's here in Columbiana or in your own hometowns. Psalm 150 reminds us of the same call. Praise him for his mighty acts. Praise him according to his excellent greatness. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Everything that has breath. That could just mic drop now. Everything that has breath praises the Lord, right? When we worship, we join in the same song that echoed through Jerusalem that day. A sound of gratitude, triumph, and hope. Worship isn't just music. It's a declaration that God has been good. He is good, and he will always be good. You can take that to the bank. Always. So, lift your voice, pick up your instrument, including the triangle. Clap your hands. Dance in his presence, whether you have two left feet or not, dance, and worship until joy rises, until the sound of praise in your life can be heard far away. Don't be shy, don't be bashful, because when God rebuilds what's been broken, worship is our only response.
Yeah, I think that's so good, and what happens from that is when we have that joyful worship, it spills over into actually doing mission. You know, because once you have that, like you said, like all we want to do is just shout it from the rooftops. And then what you're doing is you're actually showing the love that the Lord has given us. And next thing you know, you're actually doing mission work. You're doing his mission, his call. And, you know, it's one of those things that when the church celebrates what God has done, then the people aren't drawn to the church. They're drawn to the builder. And that's one of the things I think is powerful in that. So, yeah, I mean, don't make it weird, but we're also called not to keep it inside. So I really like what you said about that. So joy is contagious when God restores your life, and people should hear it. Don't hold it to yourself. You know, don't hold it in. I've heard many times in working in restaurants that I did, because those are some places. There are some things that go on. You know, I always said if they drug tested restaurants, you would never have restaurants. But there was something when I walked in there that people noticed that was different. I didn't tell them I was a Christian. I'd tell them I go to church. I just went to go cook. I loved cooking. But they knew that there was something different. And often they would look at me and go, "Oh, I know you won't take part in that. You know, I won't." And I think sometimes they're also looking for me to clean the line while they're having their break in the back. But at the same time, I think that when you truly worship the Lord with your heart, soul, mind, and strength, it just exudes from you. It's who you become. When you fully repent from some of your ick, as you put it, you change, and people go, "Man, you're not the same. You're just not. You're different. There's something different." And then people start asking those questions. And that opens those doors.
I was going to say that's a great conversation starter to let God into your conversation. I've had that several times at work. And before I knew it, we're talking about God and church and life and testimonies. And I'm like, how did we get here? But you go with it, and God opens those doors for you.
I do have a question for you that you can answer for them. What is worship? Is it just singing? Let me ask you
No. That. Worship is anything that you do that points back to God. So it can be in your job. It can be the way you speak. It could be what Chris did for us with the cross. I mean, that was a huge blessing and honor that we have for him, from him. So it's your talents, it's everything.
Yeah.
Worship just adds to it, that's all.
It does, it does. So we have a couple, we'd like to finish up with some action steps, because it's like, that's all well and good, so what do we do with this? What do you do with this? And so the first thing that I recommend is dedicating your life anew. Take this week to give back to God what he's already restored in your life, in your marriage, in your mind, in your ministry. Anything he's restored, give that back to him. Thank him for it. You know, pray to him, Lord, this belongs to you. Because without him, it may not have happened.
The second one is you're going to worship wholeheartedly. So you find your space. Find, if it's in your car, well, on your way to work, you're worshiping wholeheartedly. If it's in your prayer closet, you're worshiping wholeheartedly. Lift your hands. Open your hands. God can't give anything to you with a closed fist. You have to have an open hand. And so he will give you what you need if you just sit and take time to ask for it. So you're going to worship wholeheartedly. Don't hold back. Don't feel like it might feel uncomfortable to you at first. But if you do it behind closed doors, then you could lay flat on the floor and let God speak to you. But wholeheartedly.
Yeah, and then last one is let joy just overflow. You know, too often we get wrapped up in our problems, and you know, let your praise be louder than your problems. I mean, we're all going to have problems. Those aren't going to go away. But when you start to let your praise be louder than your problems, then what happens is those problems are still there, but they're not going to bother you as much, because you can look back, and I'll say this over and over and over, that just like in Moses would do and build the altars and with the stones, we need to build those. Somebody put it this way, it's like taking a snapshot, right? If you're in the moment right now where God has done something really good, click, take a snapshot. Save those. Save those. We have our phones, that's great, but oftentimes, I've even said this to you, we need to print some of those pictures out, because there's going to be a point where maybe power goes out. Well, we lose everything, right? Same thing with the Lord. If you're not putting those in your mind that the Lord did this, and use those as reminders when something else comes up, then you're just going to be spinning your wheels through those problems, because you can't look back on those praise moments and say, nope, you're not going to get me, because Lord's already brought me through this once.
And your lens changes as you start worshiping and you're doing this. So the way you see the world, the way you see what's happening around you, it's no longer trudging through the valleys and walking up the mountain. It's God, I see you standing before me and walking before me, and I see you in this moment. Okay, I know you're ahead of me. I know we can keep going.
So one of the things that I want to do, we talk about practical, is I want to invite the worship team back up, because what we're going to do is we're going to actually invite you to sing and praise with us in whatever way you do that. And really, in this moment, really think about what it is that the Lord has brought you through, and to praise him for that. Or, if you're like, I can't remember anything right now, praise him for what he's going to do, because he's going to bring you through something. Somebody said at one time that, you know, Lord has brought you through all of your worst days.
Yep.
You made it through every bad day that you ever had, and yet you're still here. And we can praise him for that. So I invite you to stand as the worship team closes us out with one song, and we're doing praise. Everybody stand.
I'm praising the valley.
praise on the mountain. Praise when I'm sure. Praise when I'm doubting. I'll praise when I'm numbered. Praise when surrounded.
Going home with a whole new perspective of worship today. God, we are opening our arms, our hearts, our hands to you for everything that you have for us in this future. God, we thank you, Lord, and we praise you in your mighty name. Thank you, church. Enjoyed being here today. It was awesome. Stay for some new snacks that we have in the cafe. New snacks. Yes.